Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Jaden, talking with the Commanders, I know that they're planning on talking with you later on. They're interviewing you. I imagine you're interviewing them as well. What do you want them to know about you?
This is something they got to do their homework, but I'll say for both, it's like, who's going to invest in me? Who's going to believe in me? Kind of like LSU did on and off the field, you know, as a man and a player. So I'll say that's kind of the biggest thing, but they probably already did their homework. They know who I am as a person. And who I am as a player.
Jaden Daniels on his conversations with the Washington Commanders, who hold the second overall pick in the draft. Chris Sims is on record as saying they should run, not walk, to the podium.
Uh-huh.
When the time comes to pick Jaden Daniels, assuming the Bears take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jaden Daniels. Like I said at the time, right? I mean, I think it's most years, if it's not a guy like Caleb Williams or, maybe a C.J. Stroud or whoever, I would go, well, this guy's the first quarterback off the board. This guy's special, right? He's just a little unlucky that he's got a year where the guy in front of him is really, really damn special. But, man, I like the workout yesterday, right? I think it shows, and he was different than Caleb Williams' workout. Jaden Daniels showed off a little bit, right? He probably, again, Caleb Williams, I got the sense, has nothing to worry about. Jaden Daniels is going, wait, I'm hearing this J.J. McCarthy talk? Like, what? I'm going to show everybody right now what I got. I love the workout. One, he's got a very strong arm, and he's got great control of the football. He's got very good mechanics. He missed a few, like one or two out routes to his left because he can sometimes step in the bucket a little bit, right? But nothing where you're like, ooh, that's a problem. He can't fix that, all right? But the thing about Jaden Daniels, great control of the football, can throw the ball down the field outside the numbers with ease, Mike, right? And then the other thing I like in the workout, because this really shows up when you watch on film, Jaden Daniels, we know he's tall, he's long. He can throw over the line of scrimmage, right? That's something that he's got over a guy like Caleb Williams. He can see over and go, oh, there's a guy, and boom. The other thing I love, and we saw it in a few throws there, and is he doesn't need space to throw. Him and Caleb Williams are special that way, right? And if you guys play the package again, there's a few plays on there that just will naturally come up, right? Where there, look, the guy's in his way. Look, there he throws a 12-yard in-cut. I can't step into it, but I still make the throw and throw it hard, a laser, and I don't need all the room to step up in the pocket. Here's another one, right? Oh, there's a deep crossing route. Somebody's in my face. No problem. I could throw the ball 25 yards down the field that way. So I thought it was a really good showing, and something where I look at Washington's got to come away and go, all right, that's good. All right, so we're picking him number two. Where are we going with the rest of our draft here? That would be my thoughts, at least, Mike.
Representatives from all 32 teams were in attendance at the Pro Day. Patriots had 9 representatives. They're 9.
Oh, they want Jaden Daniels bad. They want him.
Scheduled to meet with the Patriots, Commanders, Vikings, Raiders, and Giants after the Pro Day workout. You mentioned the height, 6'3 and 5'8. Caleb Williams, 6'7", not even to 6'1". That is a very real
difference.
Yeah.
That matters. That matters. That extra few inches can make all the difference in the world. Completed 52 of 56 passes. And also, I didn't know anything about this elbow picture. Did you know about this elbow picture? I don't understand what's up with the elbow.
Right.
But what is that?
I don't know. He's got, like, right. You know, you ever heard the, like, you know, the gift and the curse, or your greatest strength can be your greatest weakness as well, right? His arm is extremely flexible, right? Extremely. To the point where I think I even told you when I broke him down, at times I went, man, his arm's so flexible, he doesn't get his body into the throw sometime and just lets the arm do it all by itself. But, yeah, I mean, that doesn't look real, but it shows you the ability of his joints to kind of disconnect and be elastic like that. But I've never seen anything like that. It's like, that's almost looks like it's an optical illusion.
It looks like it's photoshopped. It looks like somebody altered it. It looks like it's, yeah, some sort of strange, I don't know.
Alien I've never seen elbow.
An arm like that before. I've never seen an arm like that before in my entire life, but maybe that's where all the magic is.
It is.
One
it
of
is.
The reasons why you've got him as high as you. I'm surprised when I hear you talk about it, I'm surprised you don't have him ahead of Caleb Williams.
I think Caleb Williams is special. You know, again, it's one of the greatest throwers I've ever seen. It's as good in the pocket when the pocket's clean that I've ever seen. When the pocket's not clean, it's as good as I've ever seen, right? You know, like it's like one of those like where like you just hear for a little nuance, right? And again, not to get off, but like Ahmed Farid, who I do my podcast with, he was trying to watch the defensive lineman I was watching, and he was some Pac-12 guys, and he comes in on the podcast. The first thing he can talk about was Caleb Williams is amazing. I mean, they don't even block for him, and he just makes people miss and throws the ball all over the place, and we think they got a chance to win. And yeah, so that's where if you dive in, it hits you like that with Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels is awesome though. And he can be a big-time superstar NFL quarterback just like Caleb Williams. And we're talking about his throwing, right? You know, decision-making is good. And then that thing that we talked about at the combine with a few guys, I mean, his running and the way the league's set up right now, it's special. I mean, he's going to be able to turn the corner, and we're going to go, whoa, he's running away from Fred Warner. Whoa, he's running away from that safety. Holy crap. You know, Jalen Ramsey had to run him down, and he got a 60-yard gain. I mean, that's what kind of athlete we're talking about here. He's pretty damn special.
When we go to the combine and we start asking all those guys from the SEC, who's the toughest opponent you faced, and it's Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels. That's one of those guys that makes defensive coordinators stay awake at night trying to come up with ideas for how in the hell they're going to keep that guy from killing them. So that's an important trait as the draft season approaches, just 4 weeks from today. Malik Nabers. Well, you know, it's funny, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm starting to see some of these guys say, well, you know, I've got Marvin Harrison at number one, but I won't be surprised if there's somebody else out there that has Malik Nabers higher.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if a team takes Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that going there. I think it's, again, another one as we're getting here, and those draft pundits and all that, you know, again, are hearing the, like we talked about early in the segment, you know, the important decision makers, people like that are starting to dive in a little bit. And when you watch Malik Nabers, you go, oh my gosh, there's nothing he does that's not awesome. He's twitchy and quick as hell. He's the best route runner, right, in the draft. He can stick his foot in the ground and cut on a dime. He's got incredible strength and ability to make plays after the catch. His acceleration, right, where I don't think he's his top-end speed as fast as his other counterpart, Brian Thomas Jr., but his acceleration and his ability to get off the line and then go into a break and then re-accelerate after he makes the cut or break is really special. I definitely would not be shocked. In fact, I would expect him to be the first receiver off the board. The only team I look at is Arizona, where they might just want to go, wait, we'll go safe, right? I like the measurables of a Marvin Harrison Jr. and all of that. But, yeah, Malik Nabers is definitely going to be top 10 pick. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well, and this gets back to what we talked about when you said you've got Nabers higher, you've got Harrison at 3. Marvin Harrison Jr. has that name, and there's that momentum. And it's going to take a GM who is willing to roll the dice on the possibility that Nabers busts and Harrison booms.
Yeah.
Why didn't you take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Right.
That was the safe pick. So I won't be surprised if the Cardinals take Harrison instead of Neighbors, and then the Chargers rush to the podium with Malik Neighbors' name on the card to replace the departed Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, we're going to continue the draft talk because you got a couple of teams not in the top 10 that would seemingly like to have quarterbacks that may be jockeying for position to trade up and get the guy they want in Minnesota and in Denver. We'll discuss that next year on PFT Live.
Part of the draft is understanding I've used this term before, but other teams sometimes have to be complicit in your plans. And you're talking about the Denver Broncos with Sean Payton as the head coach, George Payton. I know the type of staff they have there. There's some great evaluators of talent. So we know if we feel strongly about, you know, the type of players that we're looking at and we're evaluating, they probably are feeling similar.
I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? So it's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic. And we'll pay close attention to it.
Kevin O'Connell and Sean Payton, coaches of the Vikings and Broncos, respectively, both in position to try to make a move up. I don't think somebody asked me this yesterday. I don't really think the Broncos are going to do it. They're still in the immediate aftermath of everything they gave up to get Russell Wilson. Maybe Sean Payton thinks this gets him a third year. This guarantees it if he's got a guy he's going to groom and develop. And we've talked about that dynamic before. We talked about it earlier in the show, that it can buy you some job security. But, man, that's a heck of a move. That's a risky move. But it would explain taking the $53 million cap charge this year, taking $18 million more than you need to, because if your starting quarterback is on a rookie contract, you don't need to have that money around.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's the aspect you brought up. I think there's the aspect of Sean Payton looking at it going, wait, I want to get my guy in here and start grooming for the big picture future here. I'm not worried about next year or whatever. I want to get into a New Orleans Saints type run with a quarterback that's like Drew Brees, and we could start tearing up the NFL and be a consistent, you know, big time player in the Super Bowl conversation. That's where I think Sean Payton, you know, they're in a tough spot, yet their team, you know, needs some help, certainly, right? So how much are you willing to leverage, or what's that team going to ask for, right? And then there's the other side, Mike, that, you know, to your point of, like, will he do it? I mean, Sean Payton is so good that I think he can make a guy like Jared Stidham look a little bit better than we expect him to look, and they can win football games, right? So that's where I guess he's got to balance the price, right? I want a quarterback. What do I got to pay to get it? How much is it going to ruin my team? But yet it's going to start my future here, as compared to, wait, I got a guy. We can be kind of good. We might get into the playoffs maybe, or all that, but I don't know if I believe that this guy is the future that we're going to, like, be in the running for 10 years straight. And that's where they're going to have to balance. They're in a tough spot. They really are. But, yeah, I would expect them to do their due diligence about trading up. I would definitely think that.
Who do you think Sean Payton would want? Well, assuming that Caleb Williams is out of the question,
right.
Bears are taking him.
Yeah.
Who do you think he would want of the guys left over?
I'm going to assume Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are out of the picture, right? I'm going to assume that because, to me, it's fairly obvious that those are the top two guys. Now, then it goes into, I think, McCarthy or Bo Nix. When I watch Bo Nix, I literally wrote in my notes, and I think I said this to you on the day we did the quarterback rankings, Sean Payton's going to love Bo Nix, right? He's got a lot of the qualities that will fit that Sean Payton offense, but so does J.J. McCarthy as well, right? So they both would fit there, and I would think, again, those guys have, you know, also the football acumen and love the game to where they're going to be able to digest and handle the things we just talked about a few minutes ago. Sean Payton, I got 90 million plays, 90 million checks. You know, I want you to do this when they do that and do this when they do that, right? And these are the type of guys that are going to be able to handle that. And I think those are two guys that he certainly would like.
Well, and the question becomes, as he alluded to, what does it cost to get up into that spot? Are you willing to make that move? And I think, like a team like the Vikings, you know, the more I think about this,
yeah.
And the more that comes out about what they offered Kirk Cousins, Mark Wilf, the owner of the team, said this week that they only offered 1 year fully guaranteed, not two. I think that they really didn't want to keep him. I think they were ready to move on. They made him an offer that they hoped he wouldn't accept, an offer that they hoped that someone else would exceed, and he would just go, and it would be graceful. And on the way out the door, the Falcons are accused of tampering, which makes it look even better. It gives the Vikings an extra layer of cover, right? That they're, oh, well, they weren't our plan A. Now we pivot to our plan B,
right,
which is kind of our plan A. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But our plan
B, I hear you there, Mike.
Kind of our plan
A. I'm not so sure. I'm with you. I think Kevin O'Connell might have been the only guy that really wanted Kirk Cousins. Everybody else was in on the, you know, the coup d'etat like you're talking about.
Well, and I wonder how much of it was O'Connell just saying what he needed to say because he's good friends with Kirk, and you have to have the relationship with your quarterback, and you don't want to be perceived as throwing the guy overboard. I mean, maybe O'Connell
I don't think he's that good of an actor.
He doesn't strike me as a guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a guy who can do that.
Yeah, that's what
but
I mean. Right.
I still think I also think from his own, like, what's easier for me? After going through this revolving door last year of Jaren Hall and Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins, like, what's easier for me? What's easier for me is to just keep it going with Kirk. Let's get to year three. He's going to be even better. He could be good enough that we can win a Super Bowl. Instead of going all the way back to square one with someone new, where it's going to take 2-3 years to get to maximum level, maybe longer to get to maximum level. So it's going to take more work for him, and there's no guarantees it's going to work out. You have a bird in the hand that you know can fly. So I can understand why he would have wanted Kirk. And I think it's possible to truthfully say, I want Kirk, but we'll be fine if he leaves.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think Kevin O'Connell has that type of confidence, right? Again, like we've talked about, with this type of coach and his offense, he's probably like, damn, but I wanted to go to that next phase of my offense too. So Kirk, we were, you know, making a lot of headway and really getting deep in there and constructing something off of what we're doing and, you know, adding pages to the playbook. That's where I could see him being frustrated with, oh, now I got to start back at kind of square one here. All right, 2+2, guys. Okay, you're good there. That's where I could see him being a little frustrated and wanting the Kirk Cousins thing here. But I do think he has the self-confidence to go, wait, I can still make it work with Sam Darnold or whoever we draft, and we still can have a dangerous offense.
Chris, the more I think about this,
yeah.
And I'm trying my best to be objective here.
Yeah.
I'm not trying
to
make
here.
Sales
the more you
pitch
think
to
about
anybody.
It, yeah, what?
The more if I'm any of these quarterbacks coming out in the draft and I have any appreciation of the history of the position, especially recent history,
yeah.
My career. And I know that when you're 21, 22 years old, it's easy to think it's all about you. It's about your inherent skills and abilities, your effort, your work. There's so much more that goes into that, whether it relates to the talent around you, the organization, the coaching staff. And if I'm any of these high-end quarterbacks, as I've said before, I don't want to go to a team with a defensive head coach because if I thrive – the offensive coordinator's gone, and now we got to bring in a new one. I want to go to the place where I'm going to be joined at the hip with the head coach, and it's going to be Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I would want – now, you know, this gets into how long is Sean Payton even going to be there. He's 60 now. Maybe he'll be there 15 years if it all works well. But I want somebody who's going to be here my whole career, that we're going to grow and develop and thrive together, just like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are doing. That's one of the reasons why it's working. Patrick Mahomes needed a lot of polish and a lot of shaping. That's one of the reasons why he wasn't the consensus number one overall pick that year. Wasn't the consensus top quarterback that year. Hell, Mitch Trubisky went 8 spots ahead of him, for crying out loud, in 2017. It took work by the right hand. And if I'm one of these young quarterbacks and I'm dad, uncle, agent, friend, whatever, I'm saying, you know, Denver and Minnesota trying to get into the top 3 or 4, that may not be bad for us.
No.
If we end up in a spot where where the coach is going to get the most out of the quarterback, and we don't have to worry about the guy who's getting the most out of the quarterback leaving to be a head coach somewhere else.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, those are all positives, and I would think that, you know, any agent for quarterback 3-4 or off the, you know, quarterback that's 3-4 off the board or whatever, agent, dad of that quarterback, whatever, would be like, wow, my kid might get drafted by, you know, a team that's coached by Sean Payton or Kevin O'Connell. To your point, yeah. Yeah, those are the kind of recipes that, you know, any father or agent would want for success for their football player right there. It's two guys that are smart. You know, they're not going to make it and blame the quarterback for everything. And then yet they're also at the same time going to give the quarterback a lot of tools and the ability to succeed and not make it all about him. They're going to give him cheap, easy completions, and they're going to set him up for success in a lot of ways. All right. So that is the kind of guy you want to be with. I don't disagree with you there. You know, I do think you could do it the other way, too. But I hear you. There's definitely more benefits to the way you're talking about.
I'm going to peel back the curtain a bit, and I'm going to share with you a text message I got from an agent who specializes in representing quarterbacks.
Okay.
And I'm not going to name names, but I'm just going to tell you that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And people in the business can make their guesses. So I'm just, and this isn't some, you know, stunning revelation. This is the opinion that was expressed to me recently. Every quarterback projected to go high this year should be terrified by the teams picking 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
would be yeah. Bears, right. Commanders, and Patriots.
Yeah. The things you're talking about, right? I mean, hey, it's the Bears. It's Eberflus. It's a defensive head coach. All right. It's a guy that, I mean, we just did the coaches under the most pressure. Eberflus was on my list, right? There's that. Hey, the Commanders, yeah. Where are they at as an organization? It's Dan Quinn. It's the second time around. I don't know about that. Damn, he's a defensive head coach. They just got their asses fucking torched. I'm sorry about that. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Damn. Wow. That was
that
a double whammy.
Just swooped in out of
nowhere.
It
did.
At least I can feel it building.
It did. That was one that just
casual
came out. Boom, jeez. Crash. It was one of those where even when it came out of my mouth, I was like, wow, that was a little aggressive there. I'm not sure I should have said that.
Yes.
but yeah, that, Dan Quinn, hey, Cliff Kingsbury's the offensive coordinator. There's certainly questions about that. And, of course, New England's got questions galore. The team, who's going to make a play, the new coaches, all of it. So, yeah, I don't think that's a unfair assessment by whoever your GM friend is in the, over there, Mr. Big Time NFL guy.
There's a widespread school of thought this year, obviously, that Caleb Williams would be the first overall pick in the draft. 10 years ago, it was not a quarterback. It was Jadeveon Clowney.
Woo.
He has another new home. We'll tell you about it next here on PFT Live. Jadeveon Clowney, first overall pick in the 2014 draft, now a member of the Carolina Panthers, back home from Rock Hill, played at South Carolina, had that memorable moment in the bowl game against Michigan where he de-helmeted the Michigan running back. 2-year deal, base value of 20. You know, they're saying max value now instead of up to.
Oh, yeah, you got them. You've scared them all.
Have you noticed that?
I have. I definitely have.
I have shamed them out of saying up to. They all say max value now.
yeah, you definitely have. We called them out, and we got that fixed. But, you know, great signing by the Carolina Panthers, as we talk about all the time, right? And actually, I saw you write that in the article yesterday. Thanks for giving me a little credit for the F the play up, right? Jadeveon Clowney is still a player. I mean, he's still a force to be reckoned with on the edge of the defense. Is he, you know, again, he's not the greatest sack artist in football. Last year was his, what, best sack year of his career with 9.5.
Matched a career high. Yeah, right. 9.5 with the Texans once, 9.5 last year with the Ravens.
Right. Jadeveon Clowney will go down as what, you know, way better, more awesome player than the public will ever realize. Also, I'll always go down to, oh, man, if he wasn't bone on bone and didn't have that problem with his knee, how great would he have been, right? I mean, he was one of those guys where you evaluated in the college draft and were just like, oh, my gosh. They have to double-team him every play or he's going to ruin the game. And that's rare you see that in college football. But, yeah, attitude, physicality. E.J. Evero is going to like having Jadeveon Clowney, who's very versatile on that front line for a defense.
He had that knee injury very early in his career with the Texans, came down kind of weird, leapt, and when he landed, it did something to the knee, and he was bone on bone. Yeah, had the microfracture surgery.
It's amazing he's still playing and doing what he's doing. We don't hear people survive this long, especially humans like him that are so big and explosive that after that injury, Mike. I mean, it's shocking that he's still going this way.
The Wonder Surgery that uses microscopic fractures of the knee to create scar tissue that simulates cartilage.
Right.
That's amazing. And I remember when they first started doing it, like it didn't work very often, but it's worked for him. He's got 10 NFL seasons. And again, it was 9.5 sacks last year with the Ravens, matching a career high. He'd got 9.5 with the Texans in 2017 and 9 in 2018. He had 3 straight Pro Bowl seasons with the Texans and then went to Seattle. Remember that first year with Seattle? That was the ultimate F the play up year for him. Not a lot of stats that year, 3 sacks in 13 games. But there was, I think it was a game against the 49ers on a Monday night where he was just dominant.
He was everywhere. Yes, it was. It was the 49er game. You're right. And he was like that a little at the end of his Texans career, too. It's just the sacks weren't there. He didn't get the publicity. But, damn, he's a good football player, right? And he's still a big physical force. I like what Carolina's done a little. They lost Brian Burns, right? But they've gotten some value signings with some guys where they go, wait, can Kalyvon Chaisson, who was, you know, a first-round pick out of LSU of Jacksonville, can he make it work? They got DJ Wonnum, right, from Minnesota, who's got, you know, a little talent and is, I think, better than people realize on the edge. And you couple that with Jadeveon Clowney, and then they got Derrick Brown inside, who's one of the best defensive tackles in football. Yeah, they got something working there. So, you know, they're going to be formidable up front.
Rams also made some news this week, adding cornerback Tre'Davious White, who had been cut by the Bills, first-round pick in 2017, All-Pro in 2019, I believe, torn Achilles last year in Week 4. He's got a long road back. His deal is worth up to $10 million, supposedly base value of 8.5, but I never trust that until I see the real numbers anyway. But regardless, this is his year to kind of reestablish himself, still young, still in his 20s, trying to get himself back to where he was. He had the ACL that happened. Remember that Thanksgiving game in New Orleans? Tore his ACL that night, and then he has the Achilles tendon injury last year. He's got to come back from those injuries and show that he can still get it done. He'll do that with the Rams. Go ahead.
That's a tough injury. I mean, I'm going to be interested to see where Tre'Davious White is. I mean, it's you know, 2 significant injuries there in, what, 3 years, 4 years, right? So it's a corner. I worry about that. But I do like the Rams. They had a lot of young, unproven commodities in the secondary. Tre'Davious White, they got Darius Williams back. I like those moves, and I like the possibility of what Tre'Davious White could be. Hopefully he's healthy. Sorry.
Well, with Aaron Donald gone, it just opens up some money that they otherwise would have devoted to him that they can go out and spend on others in an effort to try to make that defense better. All right. You make your defense better through the draft as well. Chris has his edge rusher rankings. We will look at those when PFT Live continues right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Simsisms. Lethargical.
Well, you shouldn't let that guy catch that route on you right there, right? Where he might be, I don't want to say lazy or just, you know, a little lethargical or, you know, just complacent at times.
Simsisms.
That was great. Every time I see one of these in the rundown, I see it today, Simsism, lethargical. I'm thinking, how did I miss it? Well, maybe it wasn't uttered on this show. And I love the cutaway to Ahmed.
Did he catch it? I don't know. Did he catch it? You think he caught it all the way? All right.
But I like how you tried to cover with complacent. You chased it with complacent. Like, I know another word that sounds kind of fancy that I'll get right. Complacent.
Listen, so I'm not good. I'm not gonna claim anything there. Sometimes you're giving me more credit in my brain than I deserve. I said lethargical and I thought there was nothing wrong, and I just went with complacent just because I was looking for another similar type of word. I did not realize lethargical I had said that, and it's another one where I hear it and I go, how is that not a word? I think it explains it very good. Right? He's overall.
Check.
He's lethargical. I mean, that's the way he is. Hey, what'd you think of that football player? He's lethargical.
Lethargically is the adverb.
Okay.
Lethargically is the adverb. Lethargical is not a name. It's lethargic or lethargically. Wait. Here is the free dictionary. I don't know if the free dictionary is a reliable source. It does have lethargical in here.
Oh.
I think of the word liturgical, which comes from the, like, you know, my Catholic background. That liturgical is a name that you hear from time to time. I has something to do with the liturgy, I would assume. But I don't see lethargical in here now.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Anyway, damn. It's a Simsism. Yep. But you were two letters away from an adverb.
Okay.
Lethargically,
good.
Lethargic, good. Lethargical, Texas.
Yes.
Okay. let's go with the edge rankings this year.
Yeah.
Let's hit tier one. Give me your top guy.
Yeah, listen, it's not going to come to surprise to anybody here. Dallas Turner's the top guy, right? I think Latu, right? Leatu Latu is definitely in the conversation. In fact, Mike, I'll say this. If you watch Leatu Latu's film, you probably will come away and go, I actually think Latu's film is more impressive, right? Dallas Turner's a little bit of a, let's just say, projection to a degree, right? But not like it's crazy. Right, the guy has got elite traits that are insane, let alone he's young. He's going to continue to grow and get stronger. Right, that's what you like. But his speed, his bend, his length, his strength at 247 are all elite. They're elite. He's a little raw, right? He's kind of still in the beginner phase of defense end. He has, like, I either run around the edge with speed or I just bull rush you and push you back into the quarterback, right? Right, but I like that in a lot of ways. Again, it's showing he's really damn good without really, you know, knowing some of the nuances and the details of the position. Right, the strength, the ability to disengage from blockers, set the edge, it's incredible. Right, his athleticism is a little misleading. Right, you know, at the combine, I mean, it was as freaky as it gets. 247, 4.46, 154, 40, 40.5-inch vertical, 34 3/8-inch arms. Right, there's certain measurables that we like. Hey, the 100 best sack artists in football, we know there's some things there that are tangible evidence that make them that. The majority of them, the arm length is great, right? The get off, the 10-yard split, that's a really important number, right? And he has that, let alone has Von Miller, Micah Parsons-ish type bend around the corner. And I think it's only going to get better. So he's a specimen who's a damn good player right now, but still raw, and I think is only going to get better, and I think he has a chance to be truly a superstar in the NFL, Mike.
He's the betting favorite to be the first defender selected at minus 220. Where do you see his ceiling and floor? He's projected to be top 10, but we all think the first five are going to be offensive players. When does the window open on Dallas Turner?
I'm pulling up the draft order here just real quick so I don't misspeak or anything. But, wow, I look at it and go, I mean, the Falcons at 8 certainly is one that jumps out. The Falcons do not have an elite pass rusher. They got a brand-new defensive head coach. And I think if there's one thing that pops to you about their football team that's a necessity is, yeah, a legit edge pressure pass rusher type of football player, right? So that's where I kind of look at it. You know, the 7, the Titans, I don't think they're going to do that. They got Harold Landry. They got some other moves. I wouldn't be shocked, though. Again, this is a guy that I think has some really special, special qualities about him. But, yeah, I would think it's somewhere in that 7-8 range, Mike, where it starts to unlock for Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner, the specimen, the corner Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, I really look at those two and go, I think it's one of those two guys is the first guy off the board.
Leautu Latu, you mentioned him earlier. He's your number two guy. What did you see overall in him, and where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I think one of the things with him is like the injury history, right? Is a little bit, he's got the neck issue where, you know, he had to not play football for a little bit, and then he came back. But man, do I like Latu. I mean, great bend, naturally big, easy, 260 pounds, right? I mean, he's explosive. He's incredibly athletic, side to side, change of direction. Like Dallas Turner, and I think maybe Latu's even better, when he gets his hands on you and holds you, he can rip you apart. It doesn't matter if you're a tackle. He dominates tight ends, right? And his pass rush ability knows how to use the hands a little bit, but not so much to where I go, ooh, wait, he's so schooled up. There's no more room for growth here, right? It's all pretty awesome. And like I said, the athlete, the strength, the bend around the corner, right? That first step and all that, it's not like Dallas Turner. The bend's not like Dallas Turner, but it's still really damn good. And I think if you looked over his overall film a little bit, you'd probably go away. If I showed you the 50 best plays of Latu, the 50 plays of Dallas Turner, you'd go, I'm not so sure Latu's not better. I think you probably like Latu's film better. I think Dallas Turner's film's good. He had to play a little bit out of position, a little like Will Anderson, Mike, and Dallas Turner, where they asked him to do some things where you go, the NFL will never ask him to do that. They're going to tell him to get wide and go get the quarterback, right? So that hurts his film a little bit. But I think Latu is a Jalen Phillips, right, who went UCLA to Miami, and I think is one of the best pass rushers in football. I think he's a carbon copy of him, and I certainly think he's a top 12 or 15 pick in the draft.
We're going to continue the edge rusher rankings when PFT returns, but I do need to mention this lest I forget.
Yeah.
A very loyal viewer of the program was as stunned as I was by your casual use of the F word a segment or two earlier, and this person has expressed concern that you're eventually going to let it fly on NBC's Football Night in America. And he's kind of worried that you'll do it, and he's kind of hoping that you'll do it.
Right. Well, and yep. If that day comes, that'll be the last time you see me on Sunday Night Football. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Make it worth your while. Let's take a break. More edge rankings when PFT Live continues right after this. All right, more edge rankings. We move to Tier 2. Jared Verse from Florida State, Chop Robinson. Well, we met with a lot of these guys.
Yes, we did.
At the Scouting Combine. We met with a lot of them, and we really liked all of them.
Yes,
we
did.
And I remember we really liked Jared Verse. What do you like in him in your Tier 2, a.k.a. traits you can cook with?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like the whole group. I really do, right? The top four obviously have some really interesting traits about them and abilities that you go, wow, and they're first-rounders. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Even the guys underneath them, though, I go, damn, they're good. I'd like them to be on my team and start, right? But, you know, when it comes to Verse, hey, it's twitchy. It's physical, right? He's strong as hell. He's going to be able to set the edge and make plays that way, right? He's explosive, but not explosive maybe to the capacity Latu or Dallas Turner are, right? I don't think he's quite the pass rusher those two guys are, let alone I don't think he's as big and strong and long enough man like the other two are to maybe disengage from blockers and to win against big NFL offensive tackles on a consistent basis, right, Mike? That's why I got him as 3. There's a little stiffness to his build, right? He's not going to get that great bend around the edge. You know, he's not going to win that way necessarily. He can be knocked around a little bit more as compared to the top two guys. But, you know, again, it's a really good football player where you're going to be really happy he's on the edge of your defense. He's a guy that, Mike, is 6'4", 254, like we talked to him about, right? He's got decent length, right? But it's not great length. The thing, too, that's a little different, he gets swallowed up a little bit more. He's 254, right, Mike? But Dallas Turner and Latu, I feel like, their weight, they don't have to work to be their weight. Jared Verse, as we know, he told us, remember the pandemic, he put on like 30, 40 pounds in the last few years. He's not as naturally as big and strong a man as some of the two guys in front of him, right? But still a really good player, and you know, he just is not the pass rusher the other two guys are. That's why I got him at number three.
He's projected as a top 15 pick in many of the mock drafts out there. Do you see him going top half of round one?
I think it's going to be close there, right? I certainly don't like him as much as Latu. Latu with the injury stuff, that's going to be a big question here. You know, I would think top 15 is a little high for me there. But again, elite edge guys, there's only a few of them. And if a team's got a real desperate need there, that's where you start to see teams sometimes take guys a little bit before maybe they should be taken because they need it. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen, but I think it's more somewhere in the 15 to 25 range, Mike. That's kind of how I would see it.
And then there's Chop Robinson, who explained to us at the Scouting Combine. It used to be Pork Chop Robinson, and then he lost some weight, and it's now just Chop Robinson. What do you see in him?
Explosive as hell, right? When you talk about a guy that, like, you know, just speed, fly around the edge, do all that stuff, I mean, it's as good as anybody in the draft as far as that, like the first step, the ability just to win that way, it's phenomenal. Now, he doesn't have the overall effect on the football game that the other guys do. He's not as good against the run, right? And there are some pass rushes where I go, I don't really like that one there. That's not that impressive to me, right? Again, here against, I think this is the Maryland Terpins, right? He gets some sacks and things where I go, like, you're not going to get away with that in the NFL. Like, Lane Johnson's going to know the snap count, right? You know, they're going to be all over that. They're going to be ready for you. You're not going to be able just to win with speed or do all that. He is a really good football player. I think ultimately you're hoping he can come in and be like a Bryce Huff, right? He's a weak side, defensive end, get wide, and just run after the quarterback and do that. That's what he is. But, again, here's a guy where is he big enough, naturally strong enough, and long enough to, you know, live up to that first-round billing? He's going to be interesting to see here because there's some things you like, but there's some things about the game that you would question and go, you know, how awesome can he be? Will this definitely translate to the NFL?
You've got some other names here on your list. Give me one guy that surprised you in a good way.
Oh, okay. Gosh, all those other guys surprised me in a lot of ways. But I'll say the Austin Booker, the kid from Kansas, right? Because you read his, looked at him, and if you pulled him up and you looked at his combine measurables and all that, he's 6'4", and he's 240, and he ran a 4.79, and he ran a high 1.6 as far, or a 1.7, I believe, in his 10. So the numbers and things, you would look at it and go, well, this can't work. There's no way this can be good when you turn on the film. But then you turn on the film and you go, the numbers don't tell the story here. This guy's got a better first step than people realize. Whoa, he's slippery. Whoa, he gets off blocks. Whoa, his arms are long as hell. And he doesn't allow defensive or offensive tackles to get into his body to disrupt him as much, right? So he was one where I looked at the numbers, I looked at the guy, and I went, I don't know, can this guy really do it? And then the more I watched him, I went, damn. Right, he's got arms that are flailing everywhere, and he's got a little Max Crosby to his game. He's a phenomenal athlete. He was probably one of the biggest surprises to me, Mike.
Continuing that impressive Big 12 defensive tradition is Austin Booker.
Yes,
as Chris
right,
knows,
right.
One of the biggest fans of Big 12 defense in the world. Let's take a break. An important update on a matter from last week when this Thursday edition of PFT Live concludes right after this. Well, it took a few days, but it's finally here. There it is. My 3-pound Taylor ham, also known as John Taylor's pork roll. I've already told my wife I'm going to be serving it for Easter dinner. I don't think she will allow it. I may not want to do that once I carve into it today. We are eating it today. I'll have the full update for you, Chris, on Monday.
All right, good. I'm glad. You're going to cook some eggs. You got the right rolls. You're going to make it work. And, you know, pretend you're like you're from New Jersey for a little bit. It's good. Everybody should pretend they're like from Jersey for a little bit.
Hey, my uncle was the governor of New Jersey at one point. So
damn, he was the governor?
Yeah. Don't you know there was a governor named Florio in the state you grew up in?
I guess I did, but I didn't. There's not real relation there, right?
He's not related.
Okay, good.
Not that I know of.
That's where I was like, damn, I don't think I ever heard you say that. Holy crap, right? But yes, I am aware of that.
I remember when he was the governor, I used to tell people he was my uncle, and sometimes I would tell them the truth after that, and sometimes I wouldn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was one of those, right? But hey, the Taylor...
Uncle Jim.
Good old Jim. The Taylor ham, you know, egg and cheese thing, I know I see on our rundown here, right? Like, Courtney and Kristen are wondering, like, in North Jersey, it's a Taylor ham and egg sandwich, right? In South Jersey, right? South Jersey is like a different country compared to North Jersey. They might as well be two different states. That's really the way it is. South Jersey is Philadelphia kind of related. North Jersey's all about New York, right? So it's two different mindsets, ways, everything about it, right? It's not really, it's like a cousin, but we're in the same state.
Well, maybe after the coming Civil War, there will be a North Jersey and a South Jersey. Who knows?
Is that where we're going?
And I say that kind of jokingly, but I don't know. We're here as your respite from all the crap going on in the world. And enjoy your Taylor ham.
You're going to watch some – you enjoy it. You're going to watch some March Madness this weekend a little bit?
I might. I might want to watch some more rigged basketball games.
Oh, yeah, watch it.
I watched one on Monday night involving Iowa and West Virginia. Let's see what else is rigged this week.
Right. All right, we'll see.
Enjoy your weekend, Chris.
You too.
See you Monday.
See ya.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.